I'm George Kaler, teawithgeorge.com. And today's session of Get Real is with an old friend of mine, Frank Landry. And Frank, he knows about a lot of things, but what we're interested in today is the global money moguls. What kind of power do they have? Are they puppeteers? Who are their puppets? What's going on right at the moment that they're likely orchestrating? Frank, would you say hello to us?
Sure, George. Good to see you again. And you certainly were an inspiration to me when I wrote this book. I gave it to a few special people to read, and you read it on your way to Malaysia and back, as I recall.
I did, and I read it while I was there. I'm not that fast of a reader, Frank, and it's a fairly long, detailed book, and yeah, I was reading it in Malaysia as well. And it's the strangest thing. While I was in Malaysia, I was approached by a banker to work for him in Malaysia. A Chinese guy, I don't think he was a global money mogul, but he said, Mr. George, I can make for you a very profitable position if you will stay with us in Malaysia. I said, my life is back in Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what you pay me. I'm going to go back. So,
well, we're glad to have you back, George.
That's okay. At any rate, but it was just a strange coincidence at the very time I was reading your wonderful book.
Diabolical Deeds. They can get to the website to see what we do at diabolicaldeeds.com.
Diabolicaldeeds.com.
All one word, and they've got to enter it in their keypad, not speak it to Google, because if they do that, then TikTok's going to come up with all of its ways to take advantage of us. No, they got to put it in. Absolutely one word, and it'll come up, diabolicaldeeds.com. And look up the word diabolical if you don't know how to spell it, George.
Diabolical means satanic, evil. We've witnessed evil on a scale almost unseen before with Hamas attack on Israel. Strangest thing, my sister and her husband were about to depart their ship to tour the Holy Lands. And the captain said, back on the ship, there's trouble here. And that was the attack of Hamas on Israel. And by the time people hear this, we don't even know what's going to happen. It could be a worldwide conflagration. And some of these things that are happening, they're not just happening. They're orchestrated. And today we may get into some of that. Well, you use the word statist, a statist spy. Exactly what does the word statist mean?
That's a good question, George. The political expression is collectivism or statism. And a statist, in the simplest terms, is someone who wants to control all of the people and every aspect of their life, political, religious, and economic. So this story begins with that word, statist, and it's when he or she holds that their subjects' lives, their work, their subjects' work belongs to them, to their leader, to their group, or to their gang. Statism can appear in many different forms, George, and I know you know these. Monarchy, it's an individual by heredity, has sovereign rule over all the others, so a very few people control everything. Communism, that's the far-left political theory of Karl Marx. Property is publicly owned, class warfare is developed, it pits the workers against the system in place until one party rule, then it oppresses the opposition unjustly. Do we see that in our country today, George?
We're seeing it right now. You know, when you said where one wants to completely own the other, their income, their politics, their lives, their beliefs, it sounds like the Democrat Party.
One party rule, that's the key. That's where anyone who wants to control the population needs to go. The other form of it is fascism. It's not a separate one. It's not the MAGA crowd. Fascism is a far-right political ideology. and it's a dictator-driven. Now, I want Donald Trump to be president again, but I want him for 4 years, George, and then I want him out.
Of course.
Because I don't want a dictator either.
I don't think he's going to nominate himself as king.
I think we have that solved. But that's the other form, and so they always point to Hitler and try to compare that to their enemy, which in this case seems to be the MAGA, Make America Great. Can you imagine ever thinking in your wildest dreams, George, that to make America great would become somehow a threat and evil to the nation?
Well, Frank, for the last 51 years, I've been a financial planner and wealth manager. What I know from the Trump years, my clients were putting a lot more money in their 401ks. Unemployment was low. Price of fuel was low. We were going to go completely energy independent. People were happy and prosperous. And I have no idea why a majority of voters, if that actually happened, if it was a majority of voters, didn't want that anymore. It's one of the reasons why so many of us believe that the 2020 election was fraudulent. And we know, of course, that Facebook and other places were hiding the bad stuff about Biden and promoting any kind of bad stuff, even was total lies about Trump. So that alone was fraud. But we also know about the ballot harvesting and other things that we're now being sued for, like Mike Lindell. I spent a day with Mike Lindell about 3 years ago, a wonderful man who's now being financially ruined by lawsuits because he questioned the 2020 election. And it seems to me that the money moguls didn't want Trump in there. Well, let me ask you.
Well, I wrote a book. Let me finish.
Go ahead. I want to ask you a question that's really bugging me. Go ahead.
This is why America is a threat to statism, as I've described it. America is the constitutional republic that's based on the rule of law by God-given freedoms of life, liberty, and property rights, freedoms of political, economical, and religious. And those are the freedoms, George, we've enjoyed all of our lives, and we see them disappearing. And the reason is someone wants to have all of the power, and then they will oppress their opposition. So that's where we are today, George. But thank God we have a constitution in place, and we have still the opportunity to rescue our nation.
One of the things you just reminded me of was of Thomas Jefferson when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. It says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Originally, he was going to put down the pursuit of property. And property, in those days, owning something was freedom. The ability to go after something, such as property, was actually the ability to pursue happiness. But he was convinced to change the word property to happiness. I'm glad he did, because it just rings better. But I wrote a book several years ago, but it wasn't a passion. It was just my autobiography, ages 5 to 12, on the Pennsylvania Dutch farm, Surviving Georgie. In fact, our listeners can go look that up, survivinggeorgie.com. But yours is more passionate about what you did. What compelled you to write a book about the global money moguls and their history and how it's affecting us? What was burning in you that made you write such a thing?
Well, I think, George, I'd have to say that personal experiences, things that happen in your life, you meet people, and in the book, those people come up. One's Larry McDonald. You know Larry, and I knew him and personally had conversations with him, a Democrat, as a matter of fact. My book, while I'm a Republican and have voted Republican all my life, except maybe for John F. Kennedy, I would say that I'm definitely not opposed to a good Democrat. but the problem is we don't have a lot of good ones now.
Robert Kennedy is, well, no, he's not a Democrat. He's not, an independent.
Yeah, yes, and he's not in position yet.
And by the way, he said that his uncle John Kennedy was shot and killed by the CIA, that Lee Harvey Oswald was just maybe the trigger man, but not the guy.
There's all sorts of versions of that. He is mentioned in my book, John F. Kennedy and Robert mm-hmm. Kennedy, and there's an explanation in there. But, you know, the personal experiences, and then I had a search for God-revealed truths that just began to well up in my soul, and I just needed to find out more about what my 16 grandchildren and 26 great-grandchildren might face, George, and I didn't like the picture that I was finding the more I researched. About 5,000 hours of research, yeah.
How many hours?
About 5,000. That's in the writing of the book, getting the information, and then doing Diabolical Deeds with you, by the way, as the spy, the double agent spy that I met in Julia Davis Park. And we walk through the park, and you hear all the sounds of the river, et cetera. And, George, I thought you played the spy excellent, and you were a good friend, and I appreciate you doing that. You did that pro bono, by the way, because of your love for the country. And Missions in Action is a 501c3 pro bono. And, of course, I don't charge them for anything, and I give all my work to them that they might then generate some income and be able to continue to spread the good news that Jesus cares.
You're an evangelical Christian, right? Okay. The book Diabolical Deeds isn't necessarily a Christian book. It's more of a history book and perhaps a civics lesson.
Yes, and George, but everyone who writes a book like you wrote, Georgie, everyone I think that I've researched that writes a book is writing it from their personal experiences, and somehow that gets in the book. And of course, we meet in the park. I'm on a trip to Boise, Idaho to do a book some book signings. And they were going to take me to the park, our daughter and her husband and their two children. At that time, they were very small. And so we drive into the park very early in the morning. This actually happened. And a car drove up right behind us and stopped right behind us in a huge park. Nobody else was in the park. And this
made you suspicious, didn't it?
Yes. And this fella gets out of his car, and he's all dressed up. He's got shiny shoes on, coat and tie. Out in the park early in the morning, and he starts walking toward the river. So I tell my grandson, and I did, stop the car. I want to get out. I want to give him a little Gideon Bible. And so I had a little testament there, and I walked up to him to hand it to him. And he looked at me, and he said, "I don't want that." He said, "You know, you're one of those sad little Christian sheeple, aren't you?" Now, the man turned out to be very friendly, and even took a picture of us before we went on the bike ride. But as I was in the airplane on my way home, you know, I had all these hours that I had put into this material, and I had asked, you know, how am I going to start this book? And so what happens is I stay in the park with my new strange friend, and he then goes to his car and pulls out a laptop out of a secret place in the back of his front seat and begins to go from bench table to the car hood everywhere. And we would walk, and then he would stop, and then he would pull up things on the internet. And as he pulls those things up on the internet, anyone who listens to diabolicaldeeds.com or reads the book then hears what actually happened years ago that they don't know about. It's history that they've never known about.
A lot of people aren't much interested in history because that was then. How's the book relevant to what's happening now. I mean, there's so much stuff going on that people are just shaking their heads. They don't understand at all.
That's exactly right. You know, my books all have Jesus in them, you know, as I had mentioned before. And my website points folks to him, and I give everything to them pro bono. After all, Jesus is a cuss word or a savior. And George, I've lived on both sides of that. I've used his name in vain, and now I'm on the other side. And I've lived where other people may be living, and I hope they listen to this, even if they're an atheist, because the person I met in the park, he is an atheist. And I like atheists, George, and I want to vote with atheists just as much as I want to vote with Catholics, evangelicals, Jewish people, Muslim people, all the people in America that do love freedom, George. I'm not naming anybody and leaving them out. I'm saying if you love freedom, come vote with us so that you can live your life, own your property, and raise your children as you choose to do so. God does not want to make anybody accept him in the way we see it. But as Americans under the Constitution, our founders wanted the Creator God to let everyone choose the life they wanted to live. And hopefully some will live for him, George.
Free will.
Free will. That's what we're fighting for, George.
I know. Oftentimes I thought if I were God, there'd be lightning bolts all over the place. And I wouldn't put up with a lot of stuff going on. Well, we have something called the past, and we have something called history. How do you define those two?
Well, that's really what is the bottom line, George. I'd like to just look at a verse out of it's actually a little bit of scripture in his mind. The guy's name is Andy Andrews, and he wrote a book called 11 Million People. It's in my book, some of the things that he wrote. One of the things he says, it is, if it is correct that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, then is it possible that if you don't know the truth, its absence can place you in bondage? And see, that's why I wrote the book, George. I want as much truth out there that people maybe have missed so that they won't be in bondage one day. And the past is another page of his, page 7 in his book. Sometime during my study of the Dark Ages and Middle Ages, I uncovered an odd paradox that exists in our minds about time gone by. It is a difference most people don't discern between history and the past. Simply stated, he says, the past is what is real and true, while history is merely what someone recorded. History, as a matter of fact, and these are my words, was simply recorded by the man or woman with the sharpest axe, George. Then once they have control, they write the history that they want people to
read. That's right,
out
of 1984. Have you read that, Frank?
Yes, I have.
You know, when I was in high school, I read that. And it was so frightening, but it was so far away, 1984. And then it became 1984, and I was 40 years old at the time, and I thought, wow, that got here quick. And so many of the things of 1984 we're seeing right now. You just described the ministry of truth. And the character in 1984, Winston Smith, he worked in revising history. If the history or the current events didn't suit the philosophy of Big Brother and total domination, total ownership by Big Brother, it was up to Winston Smith to rewrite it to suit Big Brother's current philosophy. And so, well, let's get back to the book. Diabolical Deeds, a statist spy tells all. All. What does he tell? Let's hear it, Frank. What does he talk about? And why do our listeners need to know
talks about? That's a great question, George. One of the characters in my book that's discovered is a gentleman by the name of Edward Mandel House. Mm-hmm. Now, Dan Smoot wrote a book, The Invisible Government, and he says this, this ambitious scheme was first conceived and put into operation during the administration of Woodrow Wilson by Colonel Edward M. House and by the powerful international bankers whom House influenced. House founded the Council on Foreign Relations for the purpose of creating and conditioning the American people to accept what House called a positive foreign policy for
America.
That
was over 100 years ago. It wasn't even recent.
He wrote that book in 1912.
Wow.
Wrote that book in 1912. You know, Colonel House was a gentlemanly type person, but he had his view of America was one of complicated government. He saw a need in his mind to simplify government and put it in a few people's hands, and he really identified with Karl Marx, and that's covered in the book and also in my audio version. So Edward Mandel House, he was the influence upon the legislative plans of administration of Woodrow Wilson, and it may be gathered from a remarkable document. In the autumn of 1912, immediately after the presidential election, when Wilson was elected for his first term, there was published a novel or political romance. It wasn't even true, George. It was just like my book. It was fiction, but it was a political novel, but it changed our country.
What was the name of it?
Philip Drew, Administrator, A Story of Tomorrow. Now, I noticed you had mentioned on one of your programs, I think, or at another time when we were talking, that you'd noticed that someone else had talked about Philip Drew, a good friend of ours, and acquaintance. And I gave him one of my books years ago when he was here at Liberty. I also ran down Ron Paul and gave him one of my books, and a few other people, Bob Good, a few other people. I'm just hopeful that they will read it and at least get some insight. Do I know if everything is absolutely correct and true? Well, you know, it was written, so not everything that's written is true, but I want the people to enjoy the book. It's entertaining. Enjoy the audio because you're entertaining.
No, so are you.
and while they get through that, they'll pick up a lot of information. Then they can research it, and they can see if it seems correct to them. Then it's up to them and each one of us to decide what part we should play in rescuing our wonderful constitutional republic.
You know, I did research a lot of that book after I read it, after I got back from Malaysia. I couldn't find any mistakes in what I do. You know, my radio spots, I carefully vet whatever I'm going to talk about so I don't get sued. And self-protection there. But you pretty well vetted what you wrote about. Well, just how much power do the global money moguls have?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I noticed in what you do is you find out what laws were passed. Edward Mandel House, he was by a bookseller, made a comment. He said, the things that Edward Mandel House has in his book, and by the way, he did that not with his own name when he wrote it, but later he identified in his own writings that he had written that book. But originally, he didn't do it.
Read the book. It's not that well written.
It's sloppily
not
written.
As well as yours was written. It's just
he only wrote it in a few weeks, George.
Oh, it's pure propaganda. But okay, what kind of laws do we have that he proposed?
Yeah, that's the key. That's when you know it's not propaganda, George. If it was in the book that's what he wanted Sylvan to do, that's what he wanted Philip Drew. It happened. For example, February of the 13th of 1913, the income tax, George, we got that. Now, he needed an income tax so that he could then take the monies to go ahead and change our world into his view, and that would take money to align ourselves with other nations. And we've spent a lot of money, haven't we? We spent $115 billion over here fighting another war with Russia. And
proxy war.
And I'm not saying we shouldn't be there, George. I'm just saying someone needs to reexamine where we're spending our money. But that helped him to accomplish what he wanted to do, his vision for America. Took income tax. So then, after that was put in place, then April the 8th of 1913, he changed the senators from being picked by the state legislatures so that they could have the state popular vote. Now, you can buy advertising and win an election a whole lot easier in a popular vote than you can by a state legislature picking it so that senator goes to Washington and does what the state wants them to do, not what somebody up at Washington wants them to do. The third thing that happened that was very big was on December 23rd of 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was put in place, and that was by all Democrats and four Republicans. Now, here's what Ron Paul said. And I promote him in the book because I was a delegate trying to get him to be able to speak at the convention.
Oh,
at the
I remember
convention.
What a debacle that was. They
closed
him out. You guys.
Yeah, they did. We got up and walked out. Here in Ron Paul's book called In the Fed, on page 25, he says, one only needs to reflect on the dramatic decline in the value of the dollar that has taken place since the Fed was established in 1913. The goods and services you could buy for $1 in 1913 now cost nearly $21. And this was back when he wrote this book. And that's worse now, George, since they printed $6 trillion on the COVID issue. So we're looking at 1913 as the day that our money started flying away. Now,
where's it flying to?
It's flying to international banking, I suppose. It's flying to banks in our country because there's 12 federal regions, and each region has a Federal Reserve Bank. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have some sort of money protection for what's going on in our country. But Abraham Lincoln had the right idea, George. When he needed to win the war against the South, this is in my book and in the tapes. When he decided to win his war, he got someone to research it and said, how am I going to? They wanted to charge me 25%, the international bankers, to get money to fight my war against the South. And they came back to him with this resolution, said, what you need to do, Abraham Lincoln, is you need to print this currency from your treasury. From your U.S. Treasury, which is in the Constitution, we sold that off to the Federal Reserve, and they're independent. We could have printed that money ourselves. And so Abraham Lincoln did. He printed the money himself through his treasury, and he fought his war, and he won his war. But today, 1963, a well-known president—
John F. Kennedy
had a bill called Executive Order 111-110. I Googled it before I came over here, and it stated that he issued a new currency that would have silver backing it, and he had already issued several $1 and $5 bills. And that was about 3 months, George, before he was struck down. We don't know if that's part of it, but we do know that it was there. It was what he was trying to do was give us another source that we could print without paying interest. George, we're going to pay $700 billion this year, I think it is. And if we keep going where we are with interest rates, we'll be at $1 trillion in interest alone every year out of our budget for interest. So if America does not see what they're trying to do now in our Congress to have 12 spending bills instead of one omnibus bill, 12 spending bills that we get back to what the Constitution wants us to do, then we're going to be in dire straits very, very soon.
All this that came about, I'm reeling from it. The evil is so great, and yet the American people, which are often referred to as sheeple, they just don't understand. They're as dumb as sheep, and they walk into the butcher shop.
That's a lot of those stories are in my book. There's the wild pig story. There's the monkey climbing to the banana story. There's, just story after story. And a lot of them came out of research of what the communists themselves said to each other. But here's what Ronald Reagan said, George, in 1967 in his inaugural address. I'm quoting, "Freedom is a fragile thing, and it's never more than one generation away from extinction. It is not ours by way of inheritance. It must be fought for and defended constantly by each generation, for it comes only once to a people. And those in the world history who have known freedom and then lost it, George, it has never been known to come back to them again."
That sounds like us. Well, we're going to have to wind this up. We're almost at our time. I'm urging my people here listening to get the book. Is it expensive? What do they pay to get this whole book or to download the radio play?
Well, they can get the radio dramas in the CDs. We ran out. We've got them again, but they would be by mail.
And well, a lot of cars don't even have CD players nowadays. So how are people going to listen to the radio play?
They would download them off of the website, diabolicaldeeds.com, all one word, and then you scroll down. You'll see it says Grateful Heart, because I publish Grateful Heart cards and try to change the world one new Grateful Heart at a time. But you scroll down from that, and you'll see Diabolical Deeds, the cover, and then you'll have two black boxes, and you can listen to those free. And then if you want all 12 of them, they're $2.99. George, I think that's even something you can afford.
Oh, my. I'll save up for it.
$2.99 for all 12. Now, you got to download all 12 at one time. And then you go to your device and you find out where you have files that you keep those. Mm-hmm. But Ronald Reagan, if he was here today, he would, I think, say, let me ask you, which will you be? A statist or a patriot?
That's a good place to leave this. I want to be a patriot. And I think a lot of our listeners want to be a patriot as well. The cost of not being a patriot, I think it's not going to just hit us. I mean, we're in our 80s. We've lived a fabulous life. It's about our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. You have 26 of them? My goodness, be fruitful and multiply. I guess your family took that seriously. But it's not about us. This is such an unselfish thing of you that you want something here. You want your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and all future generations to have the freedom that we enjoyed. Thank you so much for joining Get Real. I ask my listeners to share this with others. Go to teawithgeorge.com. Get Real. The global money moguls, the impact they have in history and on your lives. Thank you again, Frank.
You're welcome, George.